Hiya, welcome to this week's teaching by Exchange Church Belfast. Our heart at Exchange is for you to experience a genuine encounter with Jesus Christ and thrive in life. If you want to call by for a Sunday service, we'd love for you to join us at 10:30 in the lounge for a wee cuppa, followed by our worship from 11 a.m. You can also connect with us via Facebook, Exchange Church Belfast, Twitter at Exchange Church, Vimeo, exchangechurch.tv, or our website, exchangechurchbelfast.com. It would be great to hear from you. Now over to this week's talk.
It's great to see you in the middle of the summer. And who's ready to receive this morning? Yes? Okay, well, here's the thing about receiving. Have you ever wondered why you can sit under the Word of God and you can hear unbelievable preachers? And come on. Don't look at me like that. I'm talking about myself here, all right? And you can hear unbelievable teaching, and you can hear words that light you up, and then year after year after year, you feel like, actually, that's great, but it's not getting me any further on. Anybody? Yeah, do you know why? Because actually, it's faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing. We understand that. But I was having this. It's funny because the Lord spoke to me this week about, in the parable of the sower, how people can sit under the Word, and then the Word comes, and then very quickly it can go. But it's about heart change. Do you understand that? Law is all about what goes into your head to help you to process it, all right? Grace goes right to the heart and changes you from the inside out. So if you're wondering this morning, what I often think, if I can help you with this, is to go, well, what's my posture when the Word comes? When I sit like this, am I just trying to go, right, help me to get my head around this? Well, that's one thing. But actually, it should be, Lord, show me in my heart what this means for me. In that inner, this is what I talked about last week, because that's what the Bible says. That's what Jesus said. You live from there, not from there. Do you get that? That needs to be transformed to what went on in here. Do you get that? Romans 12. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that is, let your mind be transformed to what God has done through Jesus and his grace. And so this morning, my prayer for you is this. As I speak this morning, I'm going to give such a simple word this morning, because I'm fairly simple. But I just thought, Lord, you know, I started something last week, and I wanted just to build on it and to give you a hand this week to go, what I challenged you on or encouraged you on, because I believe this is a season of faith. I don't know about you, but I have said it time and time again. I hate living in the same old. Does anyone else? Replaying some of the same scenes every day. Does anyone get bored with it? Absolutely. Some of you go, nah, I'm all right. I'll do okay. Thanks very much. I get so bored stiff at times about going, I don't want to live in the same old, because if his promise to me is that as I behold Jesus, I am transformed into the same image as Jesus, from grace to grace, or glory to glory. I don't know about you, but I want to build and see more glory in my life. I want to see more breakthrough in my life. I want to see more peace in my life. Anyone? Amen. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to receive that word this morning. And so if it goes, you'll hear it with your mind, but just say to the Lord, show me in my heart what this means for me. Because when your heart is changed, because that's what I said last week, wasn't it? I said, long before you see anything on the outside of your world, and even some of the things that some of you might will never have heard what I'm about to preach this morning. Some of you may have heard it. I don't know. But the interesting thing is this, is just don't go, yeah, I've heard that before, because you're totally missing the point. Because actually, if I get a wee bit bored with people who go, yeah, I've heard that. Because what I do is I just look at their lives and go, well, show me the fruit. Can I just be honest? And that's probably because I've been around. I mean, in my 29 years, it's a lie, 30, how old am I now? Let's just say 40-something, right? I'll let you. In my 40, I have been around the church. We were laughing with my dad yesterday, right? Who we were talking about teenagers and how interesting it is to parent teens. Let's just put it that way. And, and my dad was sitting there, 70. And, you know, there was not one bit of bother for me and my brother when we were growing up. As I've said many times, you know, the only place I was ever grounded from was church. Can you, any parents in today's world, 2018 in Belfast, imagine having to say to your children, right, that's enough of that church. You're not going near that anymore. All right? You're going to be at home hugging the altar rails up at that church every week. You know what I mean? Hugging the altar rails. That's what my mum used to say. It was bonkers. The only place I was ever grounded from was church. It's not, and I know, what kind of a geek was I growing up? You're probably thinking. But that's what I was like. What? Well, oh, yeah, my dad was going, well, it was all about the motive of your heart. You were chasing girls. I was going, so what? I was chasing them. Would you have preferred me around? You know, okay. I said, like, everyone were a complex mix. You know what I mean? It was a wee bit of I love Jesus, love to be in worship. Love my friends, and she's flipping gorgeous. I think Jesus was okay with that at that time. Do you know what I mean? I said to him yesterday, where would you prefer me to be? Around the clubs, chasing wee girls. I was chasing them in church. Like, seriously, it was funny. And, you know, it's interesting for me to go, even growing up like that, you know, now as I'm in my 40s and I've got children, I've got family and all that sort of stuff, there's something in me that goes, Lord, you know, I don't have enough time left, I feel like at times, for this just to be playing at, all right? I really want to see more of being transformed into from glory to glory. And what the Lord showed, what I started last week was going, do you know what your life, everything that you see on the outside of your life started on the inside before you ever saw it. That's the truth. And you might say, yeah, I've heard all that before. Like, just go with me, all right? It was already on the inside of you. And from that place, your mouth speaks. Let me tell you what I mean. I asked you last week, what happens in you whenever you have a piece of news that comes into your world? Where does your head go straight away? What scenarios do you play out? How does it cause a reaction in you? Because that will actually tell. People go, I know I need to live from my heart because everything that's on the outside of me is started on the inside. But what does that heart look like? Well, in order to help you, what I said is in the law of first mention, this is just a recap so I can get into what I needed to do today. Because in Hebrew, when it talks about Proverbs 4, it says, like, if you're going to keep it with all that you can keep, with all that you can muster, keep your heart. Because out of your heart is where life flows. And what I said was, well, we need to understand what that is because it seems like an ethereal concept. Libab in Hebrew, the innermost place. But what does that mean? How do I know what's in there? Well, the word says the heart is deceitful, number one, but the Lord does give you an opportunity to see where you're really at. And when we look at the law first mentioned in Genesis 6, 5, it's the first time he ever mentions heart in the Bible. And what he said, and he connects heart with what you see, imagination, all right? So if what I was saying is if you want to understand what's in there, what goes on whenever, let's say you get bad news this week, or somebody, you know, what is it? Where does your head go? Do you know the way you paint pictures in your head? Oh, this is going to happen, that's going to happen, what about that, da-da-da. That shows you what's in there, and from that place is where you live. And that's why I said last week, the Lord gives you, when you go to the Bible, when you start to see it, all right, where if the Lord links imagination and thoughts with what's in your heart, what he is saying is then, okay, well, if you want to have faith to possess everything that Jesus did for you, if you want to have the belief to actually walk in and see that world that Jesus describes, actually you living and walking into that, what you've got to do, you've got to start in here, all right? And that's why we have to receive. And what Jesus said is, let me help you with that. And so what I encouraged you last week is everywhere in the Bible where you read something, he gives you a picture. So I talked even from Psalm 1 about you'll be like a tree planted by water, all right? And so the Lord gives you these pictures so that if you're struggling, you can think about them and it builds faith in your heart. And he doesn't say you have to do anything. He just says you have to get your mind there and rest and receive in that place. And all the fruit that you need will just come. Do you get that? Isn't that amazing? I grew up with a kind of half-baked, word of faith, charismatic kind of background. I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying that's what it was. And it constantly left me believing that I had to, you know, where's your faith at? Where's your faith at? Where's your faith at? What are you believing for? I told you about the people who prayed for me and went, do you want to be well? I nearly headbutted her. Go, no, I want to be sick. Why would I want to be sick? Are you flipping crazy, Christian people? I wouldn't walk out to the front of a meeting to have somebody go, well, do you really want to be well? I think so. Well, really? Shut up. In Jesus' name is what I was thinking. But of course, being Christians, we all say, oh, yes, I want to be well. But inside, I'm going to nut her, Lord, if she doesn't get out of my face. Because actually, sometimes I don't know where this is at. All right? But I know that you're good and you love me. So if you're there, heal me. Do you get that? Okay, so it's interesting that in the Bible, though, if we're talking about faith, that's last week recapped. If we're talking about faith to possess, there's a number of times in the Bible where Jesus, and he's the only one who does it, talks about little faith. And what I want to do is I want to release you from some of the legalism and the law this morning, because the way the Lord packages that is incredible. And so if you have sat this morning, go any time in your life going, I know that the Lord's good to me. I know that Jesus loves me. I know that his heart towards me is always good. Amen? But I don't feel like, whenever I read those words of Jesus where he says, you've got little faith, anyone go, that's me? How can I receive when I've got little faith? My faith's not like him. My faith's not like the pastor. My faith's not like the person I read in the book or if I watch TV. I mean, they've got faith. But see, when Jesus said the little faith thing, I kind of go, oh, that's definitely me. Now, this is where the word really becomes alive, okay? Because what happens is, even the way this thing is structured this morning, what you're going to see is when Jesus speaks that word, I'm going to explain what it means, but he also wraps it with a bigger narrative for you, all right? I'm going to pull these things together. And I think you're going to love it. I hope you're going to be encouraged. In Matthew 6:30, he says, "If God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?" Now, so many times I've heard these messages preached in this passage, and it left me feeling a wee bit ashamed, actually, because that constant feeling of somehow I've let Jesus down. It's like, here's Jesus saying, "Look, do you not trust me?" And everything inside me goes, like, "I want to trust you," but inside I just have that. Anyone?
Yep.
Okay. And the rest of you are liars. And in Jesus' name. All right. That's a joke. I mean, have you ever heard those sermons that it kind of feels like, you know, sometimes it's in a good way, where people will sit and they'll go, "Oh, Pastor, that sermon was just for me. Just felt like there was nobody else in the room. You're speaking right to me." Well, I grew up, and every sermon that made me feel bad, it was just for me. Do you know what I mean? It was like the opposite for me. I'd love to have one of those sermons where the Lord just speaks right to your heart and you feel brilliant. But it was almost like a razor-sharp focus on my weakness. And, Pastor, you just spoke, Jesus, you just spoke that to me. And you know what? Accusation, implying that you don't measure up, implying that, you know, you're not good enough. It's not from God. Can I tell you that? That's not the gospel. The message of Jesus is you are good enough because he says so. You are as perfect right now as you will ever be. Do you understand that? As you sit here right now, who he is and what he has done for you, you will not be any more perfect. All right? Isn't that amazing? You'll never be more loved than you are at this very moment. Right now. Ah, but it did this, it did that, did the other. Thank goodness all of our sins he has cast from us as far as they can go. When he sees you right now, who does he see? Jesus. Isn't that awesome? Oh, some of you need to tell your bakes that also. It's awesome enough, I suppose. See, in the whole big scheme of things, that's the best news you will ever hear. And that's the gospel. No accusation, ever. Jesus took all the accusation. Jesus took all the curse. Jesus took all the wrongdoing. Jesus took all of your mess, seen and unseen. The things that you'd be horrified about. In the good old days in the Brethren, I grew up in the Brethren. What would happen if the Lord put all your dirty thoughts up on a screen for the world to see? Remember that? Jesus, we never slept a wink for weeks after that stuff. It was fine when you were 8, 9, 10, then you became a teenager and you're thinking, seriously? If my dirty thoughts go up on that screen, I am leaving the country. Isn't it funny? It's not really funny. It would terrify the life out of me. I used to get saved every Wednesday night. Every Wednesday night. Miss Barnes, my P6 teacher, drive me in the big bus, the fun bus, which I told you, used to gas us out. Never get away with it, health and safety these days. But she used to, with her wee berry and all on, and her coat dressed up, drive like a maniac around our housing estate in Bangor, picking up all the kids. We were half off our faces on fumes. No wonder we got saved every week. All right? You know what I mean? Good free Presbyterian bus. It was awesome. And then they were not just tight enough for me, so I ended up in the Brethren, brother, because the Free Presbyterians were just too loose around the edges for my legging. And so I ended up in the Brethren, getting saved every Wednesday night, feeling accused, hoping that Jesus didn't come back and go. Because you know the way, if every accusation and it's only you that's sitting in the service, it would be my luck to go, there's 5,000 people here, but we're going to show Andrew's thoughts. Do you know that? Oh, Jesus, help me. Get that? Oh, man. Why anyone would ever go to church is beyond me. If you're not under the gospel of grace, it's absolutely pure crazy. So many times I felt that, all right? And if you've sat under that condemnatory preaching, can I just say this? It wasn't Jesus, all right? I'm not knocking the people, but I'm just going, they just need to get that revelation of he so loves his kids, so loves them. So let me give you a picture, all right? It's something that some of you may know and some of you may not. I said this to Penny, my wife, this week, and she was like, "Yeah, I know that." And because what this church is all about Jesus and his grace, all right? And there's a beautiful picture in that for you. Because if it's true that faith to possess starts on this inside bit, all right? Where does your head go? Where do you imagine? Because the Lord links those, Genesis 6, and then in Matthew when he talks about the heart. And what does the Lord do to give you a hand with that? What picture does he paint? Do you understand that? Because he does. And, you know, therefore, what did he mean when he spoke, "O you of little faith"? How do we pull these two together? You know, let me say this, that the phrase, because actually in it, okay, you're going to see there's a picture of grace every time Jesus speaks, "O you of little faith." That's what I'm getting to. All right? Now, it's only ever Jesus who uses that expression.
And he only ever says it 5 times. All right, your ears should prick up if you've been in this church for a while. Why? Why is it that whenever, oh, you have little faith, when we look at it in the whole, all right, and we look at it in its context of Jesus speaking it, is it used 5 times? What is number 5? It's grace. It's the Hebrew letter he, all right? And the Hebrew letter he is very interesting. It's remember I've said in Hebrew, every letter is a picture. Does anyone know what the picture for he is? Is anyone clever? No, it's interesting, isn't it? Now, there's 22 Hebrew letters, and they all mean something. This is the letter he. And I've consistently preached and consistently referred to you that he is the number of grace. You see it in Abram, you know, all the way back there when the letter he comes in after he receives righteousness by faith. And the way his name changed from Abram to Abraham was simply putting grace in the middle, number 5 right in the middle. Well, what's interesting, well, let me just show you why. You know, so all of the Hebrew letters are in the alphabet are used for numbers, but they also have a picture. Now, he is an open window. All right. So whenever it's interesting, rabbis today in Israel, people under the law don't get this, basically. But the letter he is an open window, and that's what it means. And it looks like that, but that's in Hebrew. And it's reminiscent of the Lord. This is what they did, opening the window of heaven for you. All right? So that's what grace means. Now, this will really help you this week. Okay? So the picture that the Lord gives you in order to build faith in you, whenever you hear grace, because I don't know up until this point what goes off in your imagination. It can be a little bit ethereal and stuck, can't it? But actually, the Lord wants you to see an open window. All right? And where there's an open window, all right, you're able to receive. It's about, you know, you see this, you know, if you ask a Jewish rabbi today, they will say, yes, hey, is a window that is open. But they don't know what it reveals because they haven't seen Jesus. All right? So they kind of go, a window to what? But under the revelation of Jesus and his grace, we go, it's a window to an open heaven. That's what the Lord prophesied in Malachi chapter 3. Can you remember that? It's interesting that these are verses that are used to beat people over money and tithing. To go, if you don't tithe, the Lord's going to curse you. The Lord says, will I not open the window of heaven and pour out such a blessing on you that there'll be no more need? Do you get that? So right back in Malachi, what you see is this picture of grace being heaven open for you, and in pouring out, there will be no need in your life. All right? Now, do you get that thought? So what happens in my head is I go, right, whenever I think of grace, you know, you can go in your mind, unmerited, unearned favor. Yes, I get that. Grace is Jesus, who he is, and what he has done. Grace is blessing and favor because of him and not because of my performance, et cetera, et cetera. But I want you to see for your life that actually, if you could start to think that every time you hear grace, you go, heaven is open for me, and I can see right through, and God has opened that up so that there is blessing poured out, so there's no more need. All right? And what I've done this week, every time I've seen a window, actually, as I've been thinking about this, I've just gone, God, that is my view into heaven. Because we even pray it, don't we? People under law pray it. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And it's more hoping. All right? But what the word's going to show us is in every area, there is an open heaven. Isn't that good? So that's the word picture for hay. And it's this. So in other words, it's about Jesus pouring his grace out from heaven. 5 is the number of grace, all right? And so all the blessing, all the favor, all the health, all the protection, all right, is about this window being open, which allows you to see clearly who Jesus is and what he has for you. I've got to tell you now, when it says in Malachi under the law, will I not open the windows of heaven? What Jesus has done for you has opened it wide. So you can look right in and see all that is yours. And it's like that all comes to you. And it's where you have an area of need. Let me explain it to you. So there's 5 aspects of grace every time you feel like you don't have enough faith, all right? So each time Jesus uses this phrase in the New Testament, it's always associated with a particular aspect of grace. And what it does is it illuminates his care and his concern for you. We often think that it's a rebuke, that it's, oh, come on, you little faith, like, oh, you numpty, like, do you not get this? And if you have a heart that's under law, that's the way that you will read it. But actually, that's not what he was saying. And you're going to be encouraged by this. I've had many times this week where I have needed this. You know, we got a puppy. I'm going to say my heart's still soft. at this point. It nearly hardened yesterday when we had our first bout of puppy diarrhea. Pray for me. It was in the garden, so it wasn't too bad, but I just had a wee glimpse, so a little window into, oh, Jesus, is this my life? And but the Lord quickly softened my heart, and I haven't let the dog back in since. It's tied to a tree in the garden. And after a couple of weeks, if there's no more remnant, and that's a joke, in case you're going to report me to the RSPCA or anything. But I did have thoughts this week of, oh, Jesus, help me. I have need. I'm picturing an opening window of heaven and me kicking this puppy through it. That's a joke. And you got to, if you're struggling to follow me, it's all part of the journey. And each time Jesus uses this little faith, and this is going to help you, it reveals a particular aspect of his grace. Do you know what the word that he uses here, or you of little faith? It's a word called oligopistos. Now, you need to learn a little bit this morning. And what it means is this. There's only five times only used by the Lord. So we've got to pick it up, all right? It means someone who's dull of hearing to the Lord's voice or disinterested in walking intimately with him, all right? So it means just a little, or it's like actually the faith that God imparted to you and gives to you as a gift, it's almost like you're dull of hearing because there's a little bit of disinterest. That's why I said to you way back in July, if you want to learn to possess, whenever you see Jesus, you follow him. Do you get it? When you hear the Lord's voice, when you hear his leading, when you hear his prompting, go for it. Because the more you don't, the duller you become. And that's why when the Lord is saying, I'm going to lead you into freedom, but you don't put your eyes on the people, you don't put your eyes on the strategy, you don't put your eyes on the structure. When you see the ark, it says in Joshua 3, follow, and the ark is the picture of Jesus, follow him. And so what we see in here, okay, is that every time Jesus says, oh, little faith, it's like, are you dull? Do you not hear? And you have to get the sense of the context, because language is really important. Language doesn't make sense unless you understand the context of it. Jesus loved his disciples. Do you understand that? His harshest words for the legalists. But for your man on the street, every time he saw sickness, he healed him. When he saw the demon possessed, he set them free. With his disciples, despite the fact that they were the most dysfunctional, messed up, screwed up bunch of guys at times, he loved them dearly. So he's not going to start, and you need to read it differently and understand the context, not just take little verses out and allow that legalism in your heart to condemn you. Because what you have to see is in the big context, he loved those guys. And so what he was always trying to do was lift their heads up and their hearts up to go, you know, don't be dull of hearing. It's almost like I can see the Lord almost with a smile on his face going, come on, guys. Like, we would do that today. Are you thick? Like, don't be dull. If you see me, follow me. When you hear me, get behind me and faith will come. So do you want to know what the five areas are where Jesus talks and it'll minister to you? And instead, if you find yourselves in these positions, what I want to encourage you is let your heart go and your imagination go to that place where you see, hey, open heaven, an open window. Open so much that the Lord is pouring out from heaven through it so that there will be no more need. Amen? Because you'll find yourself in one of these positions this week that your heart will go there. And that's why the Lord paints the picture with grace. Okay, so the first one is this. I'll do them very quickly. Matthew 6:20, it says that if God clothes the grass of the field, how much more will he clothe us? And then he goes on to say, look, don't worry about being clothed, oh, you have little faith, all right? So this whole area, the first area where we feel the most condemned, right, is looking after ourselves and that self-reliance and self-provision. Do you get that? I don't know about you, jobs, money, etc. Where does your heart go? What picture do you paint? Future, pensions, blah, blah, blah. Where does your heart go and what picture do you paint? Because from that place, you're going to live and you're going to see it. So what does the Lord say when he wraps these five occurrences together? He says, there's grace over it. And you'll not have need in those areas. So the first one, I'll do them quickly, because I mean they are what they are, and you'll understand what it means for you about your future. In Matthew 8:26, he rebukes the storm with one word, shalom, peace. Peace be still. And then he turns to the guys and goes, look, what's wrong with you? Are you dull of hearing? Are you dull of hearing? Because what is it about? It's about your circumstances where you feel like you're sinking. Have you ever felt like that? You probably felt like that this week. You might feel like that this week, okay? And what the Lord says, he's not going, oh, stupid. He just looks, he looks at the storm, he calms it, and then goes, don't be dull of hearing. Listen to me. Because what he's showing you is, above every storm, your dullness of hearing, was that a horse, or was that just my, okay?
you know what? See, if we were charismatics right now, somebody would be gone up going, oh, the Lord's coming like a pony out of heaven. You know what I mean? Did anyone hear it, brother? That's exactly what would be happening right now. But let's just say it's probably a horse driving up the Albert Ridge Road. There's a sentence I didn't think I would say this morning. All right? Oh, it's the stallion of heaven. Can anyone hear it? All that stuff. Oh, man. Anyway. And so I could be the stallion of heaven, and we're just not spiritual enough. But I think it's just some bloke on a horse on the Albert Ridge Road. And so in Matthew 26, he talks about peace, be still. Peace, be still. In Matthew 14, that's the second one. Matthew 14, 31, when he pulls Peter up, Peter's walking on the water, and he starts to sink again, right? And it's this kind of feeling of no matter what you're in, an open heaven you will save you. Jesus says, whatever you're in. The Lord's going, do you know what? I'm above every situation and every circumstance. I can speak to the natural, and it obeys me. And if you keep your eyes on me, you're never going to sink. When you see me, follow me. Put your eyes down, you're going to go down. Right? So don't be dull of hearing. Listen to what I'm saying to you. All right? The next time he uses it is in Matthew 16. It's where he feeds the 5,000. The Lord's trying to say, do you see when you fear lack? When you feel like you're not going to have enough? When you feel like you need to do more in order to be provided for? If you worry about tomorrow and what tomorrow's going to bring, the Lord's, and then you read that verse and you go, and the Lord says you've got no faith. Like, what a kick that is, isn't it? But he's going, no, don't be dull. Don't be dull of hearing. And then the last one's Luke 12, and again, he talks about in 28, Luke 12, 28, he talks about clothing again, and he assures us that every single need that you have is met and covered. Now, that's the only five times that word is used, but five times in the whole word, right? But how many millions upon millions of Christians have felt burdened and not good enough and accused because they didn't see the bigger picture? Because what Jesus is saying is this, okay? And that's why he wraps it in perfection. He goes, every time you find yourself in one of these areas, there is perfect grace covering it all. Do you get that? You are covered and surrounded by perfect grace. What does that mean? It's open heaven so that he pours out so that I have no more need. Every time Jesus used that word, it's because there was need. But what he was trying to show them is, when my grace comes, you will have no need. But where does your heart go? I think some of us try to possess. We try to walk in and we try to get what God has for us. And we try to walk into the fullness of grace. But we have no idea, because when there's an open heaven for us and a fullness for us, what do? He says you'll just have to receive it. Do you know that part of the word faith means to take? Let me just explain that. I'll go real quick because I've taken a wee bit more time. All right, it's a wonderful way here that Jesus rebukes. Can you notice here in each of these instances, what does Jesus not say? Jesus doesn't say, oh, you who are stupid, you have little learning. You have little education. He doesn't say, you have little holiness. All right? Anyone not feeling that holy this morning? The Lord doesn't rebuke you for that. You're as holy now as you'll ever be if you've received Jesus. Amen. Righteous is the word. He doesn't actually say then, oh, you have little fasting. I love that one. He doesn't say, oh, you have little prayer meetings. He actually doesn't say, oh, you have little giving. What he says is everything you receive, you'll receive by faith. You'll receive by believing, faith being convinced that God is good. Right? Everything you will receive will be by that. And so that's what he's showing them here. So there's a bit of faith which means to take. Because if you receive everything by faith, it means that in some way you've got to take it. Do you get that? Because the Lord will never force it to you. So built into faith is this thing of take from me. And I just want to show you this one, because one of the things that I'll just do it very quickly, is, you know, I think when, you know, if you take the feeding of the 5,000, when you look at little faith, that dull of hearing, faith means to take. Do you get the sense, if I turn that around, instead of Jesus telling you off, you get the sense of Jesus going, you know what, do you not trust me enough to take from me? Do you not trust me enough to take more from me, to take as much as you want from me? All right, what an unbelievable way, if you think about it, for the Lord to get your attention by going, you're just not taking enough. Now that's grace, isn't it? Not telling you off for you're getting it wrong, but going, there's so much more. Don't be dull, come and take it. Isn't that wonderful? That's when you see an open heaven. So much poured out that there'll be no more need. Oh, that's a good word for somebody this morning. instead of the Lord pushing you away, going, no, he's going, no, come and take more. Come and take more. Because if everything is received by faith, you've got to take it. And actually, I want you to see this morning that the more you take, the more he is blessed. Because some of us still on the inside go, hold on. See what I really would believe for? There's no way that I could see that come to pass. There's no way the Lord would bless me that much. I mean, I'm talking about making a big withdrawal from the Lord, all right? A big pull onto his goodness and his love. And then something, you get that sense of dream, but not that big. Believe, but not that much. You get it? Like, what would it be like for complete restoration in your family? What would it be like for complete health? What would it be like for super abundant blessing found in the presence of Jesus? I mean, dream with me for a minute, will you? What would that be like? And the Lord goes, seriously, don't be dull. Take some more. What a rebuke, huh? That's a rebuke I want to hear. It's like you're just not getting enough from me. That's the heart of grace, isn't it incredible? Some of you don't believe me. Let me show you very quickly from the word where that sits. You know, I think, you know, yeah, I just think that the more, even this week, okay, the more you can sit and just see that picture of hay, an open heaven over your home, over your mind, over your body. Here's the interesting thing about the Lord. The fruit he will bring about and you'll not need to worry about it. But if your heart is transformed and renewed to that picture and that imagination, all the way back to Genesis 6, he goes, from that place, you'll live. And you'll see such goodness around you. And then when you feel like, I'm not, you'll say, come and take some more. Dream a bit more. Dream a bit bigger. I just get this constant sense of the Lord going, glory to glory. Stop selling yourself short. And in fact, it's not selling yourself short, it's selling me short. Let me just give you two. If you want to know, that just sounds like name it. No, it's not. Listen, you've got to see every bit of scripture through that open heaven. Because in the middle of it all, it's grace. Grace, no, by no mistake, is an open heaven, an open window. No longer shut, keeping you out. No longer you looking through the glass, but not able to get through to it. But it's flung wide open so that everything is for you coming, you know, your way. Isn't that an awesome picture of grace? But let me just show you, very quickly, because Jesus wasn't angry with his disciples here, and he's not angry with you. Far from it, he loved the men. And, you know, I think Jesus, we have this po-faced Jesus. I think he had a wee twinkle in his eye. Do you get that? That's the kind of Jesus I love. The kind of Jesus I would love to, you know, I think, you know, we get this, let's just go through the lessons here. I think he was going, come on, guys. Like, he must have been some crack as well to hang around with. You know, I think if I had the ability to get one of you to walk on water and then watch you sink, I'd be killing myself laughing. I'm not lying. It's just in me. And you can judge me all you want, but you'd be, do you know what I mean? Like, I'll watch this. Oops, up you get. Now, I would just for the crap. Anyway, you can all praise God this morning that I'm not Jesus. But, you know, he never dealt with these guys really harshly. He always encouraged them and loved them and called them up. So he wasn't condemning. He was just going, you're dull of hearing. See me and follow me. Let me just tell you this. That thing of faith to possess means to take. Let me just show you a couple of things very quickly. You know, if you go even back to the feeding of the 5,000, when that little faith is mentioned, it says Jesus took the loaves and he had given thanks and he distributed them to his disciples, and then the disciples were sitting down. And likewise, the fish, all right? This is John 6:11. And it says, they took as much as they wanted. Think about that. Whenever the people had had enough and they could take no more, that's only when the supply stopped. You ever thought about that in the story before? So as much need as was there, the Lord flowed and overmet it. But only when they had their fill did the supply stop. Open heaven will be poured out so that there will be no more need. Do you think Jesus was sitting there going, oh, here we go? It's interesting, the story. Can I just tell you that the way that they would have set that up is, I was reading about this, is that we get this impression, I don't know how you think that worked out. It wasn't just like this mad crowd. They would have been sat in rows. There's a bit of order to it, right? They sit in rows. And what was interesting was it wasn't like the Lord put it into the hands of the disciples. It says that he broke, right? Now, if you think about 15,000 to 20,000 people, 5,000 men and the women and kids, how did that work?
I see Pastor Prince was preaching on this a while back, and I only came across it. It's really interesting. Because he said the way that in the Middle East they did this, they sat in mad rows, massive rows rather than mad rows. And what happened is the Lord broke, it went down the rows, but they always came back to the source for it to be refilled. Have you ever found the Lord bless you and you kind of walk off, right? And the source is somewhere in the rear view? Well, the way the Lord set up this was that when they got to the end of the rows, they turned and they came back to him, and he kept breaking and supplying. It's come back to the source and you're filled. And you can go back as many times as you want and he'll never run off. And only when you go, I've had enough, you might be living. And you might not have expressed it like, I've had enough, but your heart says you can't believe for more. It's the same thing. And then there's a supply issue. Not a supply issue, a receiving issue. Do you get that? So we've got to go that heaven's window is open. And actually, when I keep coming back to Jesus, the source, he just keeps giving and giving. What's your need? And what you never need. Isn't that amazing? Can I just tell you this? That blesses him. I think he was, do you know who I think had the best day? Not the people who received, but the Lord, who was just going, how flipping awesome is this? And it's not like a demonstration of heaven. Oh, I think he was just having fun, going, this is freaking them out. Look at that. And plus, they're all fed. What's it like when your children are hungry? They would drive you nuts, wouldn't they? I've got a hungry puppy now as well. Do you know, I had a point this week of going, that dog's doing my head in Jesus' name. And then thought, I haven't fed it. That's probably why. Oh, crap, you have to feed these things too. You need to pray for me and pray for the dog. And luckily, Penny's in the house. But you get that? You come every day, every time you open your eyes in the morning, and say, heaven is open for me. And he wrapped all of my need in perfect grace just to show me that it's about me hearing him and following him. And if I keep coming back, there'll be supply. And that blesses him. It blesses him. I think a few weeks and months of just having that picture in your heart, even of going, I just picture the letter hey. I don't know about you. I picture the letter hey. And I go, there's an open heaven over me now, right now, and there's blessing coming. Even this week with stuff, people say things and things happen and da-da-da, in church, out of church, all the rest of it. Just have Mark go, open heaven. What does that look like? All the fullness coming right now. Pouring out. And things sorting. A bit like Helen said earlier on in her testimony. Stuff getting sorted that's been stuck forever. Did she have some major revelation, some cool story? No. Just the Lord working it out for her and her walking into the goodness of it. My last point is this, just very quickly, is there's nowhere, I think, more beautifully portrayed, all right, of Jesus being blessed whenever you take from him, whenever you receive, than the woman in the well in John 4, one of my favorite stories. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the men, come and see a man who told me all these things I ever did. You know how much I love that. Come and see a man. Now come and meet a man, actually, who told me everything I ever did, but I'm just so blessed by him. They went out of the city and came to eat. In the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat food. But he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. Therefore, his disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? Isn't it amazing that even when Jesus was here physically, what strengthened him and what blessed him and what nourished him was this food that the Father gave him, which was blessing people who needed it. He hasn't changed. Same yesterday, today, and forever. Do you know that it really blesses and strengthens and nourishes the Lord to give to you? Like some of us go, don't be silly. He's God in heaven. Yes, he is. But he's your Father too. And he so loves to see you blessed. He loves it. And his word to you this morning is, don't sell that. Come and take more. Where have you limited for your family and for yourself? Where does your heart go to whenever you have need, when you have frustration, when there's circumstances, people, all the rest of it? What comes out, all right? This week, why don't you say, Lord, today, and sometimes, for me, I close my eyes, and it's, I picture, this week, I've just been picturing hay. Open window. And just all the goodness of God. And I just love in the middle of the biggest verses of that have been used to curse, actually it was a picture of grace. I'll open the window of heaven, grace, so that pour out so that there'll be no more need. Isn't that cool? So my prayer for you this week is this. Every area of life, don't see the Lord as condemning you if you're not getting your breakthrough. He's just saying, don't be dull. That's why I've encouraged you this summer to feed well, so that you sharpen your hearing, sharpen your understanding, and let your heart become soft. And in that place where you have limited those things in your heart where you've gone, that's just the way that it is, the Lord says, seriously? Come on, with a twinkle in his eye to go, hey, why don't you believe for some more? Because not only can you do that, you feed me. Isn't that a concept that blows the legalists away? I love it when you do that. It's strength for me and hope. And I hope that you see that this morning. Amen.